In central Tokyo, an estimated 25,000 people recently gathered to defend something that may seem obscure, but is actually vital to understanding post-war Japan. Article 9 of the Japanese Constitution. It's become the focal point of a debate that's dominating headlines in Japan.
Article 9 is one of the very keystones of the post-war Japanese Constitution. It renounces war and it says that Japan will not maintain military forces.
Toshiaki Miura is a political journalist with Asahi Shimbun, one of Japan's leading daily newspapers. He's a former Washington correspondent with an expertise in diplomacy and US-Japan relations.
Because of Article 9, Japan has been largely a civilian power, and it has restrained military power. Military power has been a kind of very low key of Japanese politics, and Article 9 played that important role in Japanese psyche.
Japan does have a military force, in fact, a very sophisticated one. But Article 9 of the Japanese Constitution limits its use to self-defense. Therefore, there's no Japanese army as such, there's the SDF, the Self-Defense Forces. What's curious, though, is that Japan's constitution, which came into force in 1947, was actually written by the Americans, who occupied Japan for 7 years following the end of World War II.
Mr. Abe, when he returned to power, because he occupied the premiership earlier between 2006 and 2007, not very successful premiership, but he came back to power in December 2012, and the campaign slogan at the time was taking Japan back, quite literally. And that was all over, you know, in Japan on posters.
Koichi Nakano is a professor of politics at Sophia University in Tokyo. He argues that there's a rising strain of political conservatism in Japan, led by the current Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Abe, like many Japanese conservatives, takes issue with the US-drafted constitution.
The post-war constitution of Japan, they say, was an American imposition and emasculated Japan forever since, because it has this famous Article 9 that bans the military and the use of force as a means of resolving international disputes. What they, you know, also challenged was what they call the masochistic view of history in Japan. Japan was emasculated because of the defeat in the World War II, and it's time to regain Japan's pride as a proud modern nation, but with very ancient roots in history.
Japan's former ambassador to the United Nations, Shinichi Kitaoka, is currently president of the International University of Japan. A leading public intellectual, he's a close ally of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and has been one of the driving forces of the current push to reinterpret Article 9 and expand Japan's military role.
Article 9 implies that military is, first of all, something very evil, and then the use of military forces should be limited. But this is not a very good source for playing a constructive role in international peace and stability.
Like many on the conservative right, he believes that Japan needs to strengthen its military alliance with the US to counter the rise of regional powers like China and North Korea.
There are only a few countries which can defend their countries by their power alone. Probably it's US and then Russia and China. And even UK cannot defend yourself by exercising the individual right of self-defense alone.
The raft of security legislation currently under consideration is undoubtedly complex, but the key issue is individual versus collective self-defense. In other words, is Japan constitutionally limited to using its military to protect only itself, or can it expand its mandate to protect both itself and its allies?
This is just a minor expansion, so that if our friendly countries are attacked illegally by some country, and if the situation will have a terrible impact on Japan, and then Japan can consider dispatching self-defense forces, and then they may be able to do so. But considering the people's opinion, very much pacifist, and also that today's financial situation, the Japanese government will remain very, very cautious in so doing.
Opinion polls suggest that between 60 to 70% of the Japanese public oppose revising the constitution, and many have taken to the streets to protest, including 34-year-old musician Kawaro Nakano.
70 years we have no war, at least, directly. But this is the first government, I think, for the really right-wing and really dangerous. It's really dangerous time, I think, yeah.
Opposition galvanized in early June when three eminent constitutional scholars, including one hand-picked by the government, came out publicly saying that the proposed laws are unconstitutional. Political journalist Toshiaki Miura.
They are against it because it will erode the rule of law, the spirit of the constitution itself, and the constitution will become very unstable if the government can interpret it in any way they like.
Akira Kawasaki, director of the Japanese NGO Peace Boat, which is one of the many organizations opposing the new security laws, agrees.
Japanese pacifism is under serious earthquake, I have to say. The government is trying to make a fundamental shift. It is about the gutting of the peace constitution.
With territorial disputes in the East China Sea already straining Japan's relations with China, Kawasaki believes expanding the role of Japan's military will simply add to regional instability.
If Japan abandons its renunciation of war, then it will just trigger arms race in the region. Japan should stick to the peace path and seek for mutual disarmament and calm approach in regards to the territorial disputes and other threats in the region.
Japan's ruling coalition, led by Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, recently voted to extend the current session of parliament until early September in a bid to pass the security bills and to gain time to win over public opinion. On July 16, the bills passed in Japan's lower house, and a final vote in the upper house, which the government is all but certain to win, is expected in the coming weeks. Until then, protests are set to continue. Janik Rogers, FSRN, Tokyo.